Hey, Pastor Ben here, continuing with our study through Galatians. This week, we are in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. In our last session, we saw that Paul was grumpy at the Galatian believers, seeing that they are allowing themselves to be tricked into thinking that there's something that the law can do in order to add to salvation or as a prerequisite to salvation. And was using some pretty strong language to dissuade them from this. This week, as we look at these next few verses, he's now pointing back to the origin of the Jewish faith, all the way to Abraham, the father of many nations, but specifically into the promised people of God. And so as we look at these few verses here, there's a lot that's going on that Paul is trying to help the Jewish believers, as well as the Gentile believers, understand about what salvation truly is and just where that plan came from. So let's read. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This section here, this opening statement, understand then, some translations take that as know then, and some translations take that as therefore know. And so we know when we have a word like therefore, we have to look at why it's there. And as we saw in the verses just before this, the six verses coming up to it, what they need to know is based on their understanding of Abraham's faith being credited as righteousness, not Abraham's deeds, not Abraham's following of the law that didn't exist for him, but that it's faith from God in God that brings about true salvation. And so if they're going to know that, what that means, that it's those who believe that are children of Abraham. He is trying to get them away from this idea that it's the genealogical connection, the familial bloodline tracing back to Abraham that somehow saves the Jewish believers. He's reminding them that it's not that saved them, but that it's their belief in God. And also pointing out that then the Gentile believers are also true, authentic, saved believers in God. They are not needed to be brought into the Jewish way of doing things. They are considered children of Abraham, even though in a technical sense they may not be bloodline related to it, which is an important thing for us to recognize as we look at the gospel message today, that we are sent out into the nations, right? It's not just a special people that we're trying to reach. It's not just, the Jewish people here, but it is a message that's meant for everyone and was always intended for everyone, as we see in the coming verses. It's also important, again, to realize that it's not that these nations become a part of Israel, but instead that all nations are open to the message of salvation. So in verse 8, there's a couple really neat things here. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. The way that Paul writes this, he's personifying scripture, right? Personifying is a literary technique where you're giving human-like attributes to non-human things. So in this case, he's talking about the written word of God knowing something, right? The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance, right? So Paul is making a really very strong argument that the scriptures are truly the word of God, right? And giving them that human-like quality, that personification, and sort of treating them like a person. He's really saying firmly this: he believes the scriptures are truly God's words directly from God himself, so much so that they act in place of him for us here. And that's just a great reminder of just the way that we need to approach Scripture ourselves, remembering that we call it God's word, but recognizing that, no, it really is truly the words God wants us to know and has expressed to us. And then the second neat thing, that second part of the phrase, that the Scripture announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, a quote from Genesis 12, right? A promise of God made to Abraham. The idea that salvation was always the plan. It was never a surprise to God, but even all the way back to Abraham, his initial promises before the law, before Moses, before all these things, God knew really all the way back to Genesis 3, that promise, that first promise made there. But Paul talking about the situation with Abraham here, that all nations will be blessed through you, right, was a pronouncement of the gospel being, again, the good news of salvation through Jesus for any who will come, not just the Jews. It's not to say that the Jews weren't a chosen people by God, but it was not a requirement to be Jewish in order to get salvation. Again, he's harping on this theme of equality among Jews and Gentiles, which we'll see coming up later down in chapter 3. This idea of it doesn't matter if you're Greek or barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, right, all under Christ are a part of God's family. And so he's starting to set up those seeds of different ideas here that we'll explore in more detail as the weeks come. And the idea that then, verse 9, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Once again, the blessing doesn't come because they are genealogically connected to Abraham, and so they can claim something because, you know, Abraham is my father. But the blessing comes from the God of the object of the faith, right? God himself blessing Abraham and then blessing others who believe and have that belief credited as righteousness to them. Get those same blessings that Abraham has. Again, it's a situation where, if we remember back a few weeks where Peter and Paul are having the confrontation, that the Jewish believers, some of them are trying to not treat the Gentile believers well, to see them as second-class believers or maybe even like not true believers because they just don't understand fully the width of the gospel and how God has chosen not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. He's chosen humankind to be able to have a relationship with him again. And so breaking down back to Abraham as the man of faith, and as we'll see in a couple weeks, that it's always been Christ through God's plan, right? The seed of Abraham, not the seeds. It's not this bloodline connection, but instead the drawn blood of Christ is the true blood connection that really connects believers to God. And so as we continue to just see how Paul breaks down these arguments against anything outside of salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone. We have to remember for ourselves that we don't get caught up in trying to point to, well, my family's gone to church my whole life, or, you know, I've been in church every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every prayer meeting, right? Those things are good and valuable and important, but those aren't the things that save us, and those are also not the things that earn us favor with God. We know that God has given us the greatest favor through providing salvation through Jesus. And we must fight against the temptations to try to add any of our effort or any just human works-based thoughts into making that be the impetus for connecting with God, instead of just realizing he's already opened the doors to us.